I choose life today. I choose life for tomorrow. Not my life, but the life you have given to me through your Son Jesus. I walk in it. I talk it. I live it. It's in me. It's on me. And I give it to whomever you express in my heart to give to. I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a choice. It's a choice. Listen, if you come to church just to come to church on a Sunday morning, stay home. Because you're better off being home. Really, I'm telling you. Well, wait a minute now. That's a bad thing. No, it isn't. See, get into a place where either you're going to do it God's way or do it your own way. Amen. You're going to be miserable otherwise. You're going to be miserable because you'll come in here and fall asleep so you don't have to listen to me. Or you'll get mad at me and be mad. Don't get, no, I don't want you mad at me. I want you to love me as I love you. Amen. And I care about you. Listen, if you don't want what God's got for you, go enjoy the world. Amen? There are choices we can make. Right. It doesn't mean that God hates you. He loves you. He loves everybody. But there is a place when we make a choice and we stand by the choice we make that brings a peace to us. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people who tried to come into the kingdom and tried to come to the church and they just didn't feel comfortable. They didn't feel right. But when they left the church, they felt more comfortable out there. That's where they want to be. Amen? But if you're seeking the kingdom of God first in your life, I'm telling you, the path of the kingdom leads not, I'm going to say it the right words, leads through the church. It doesn't stop here. Okay? It goes out there too. You live your life out there. But this is part of it. You can't eliminate this from that life. Jesus said that he builds his church. It's his church. You are his branch. In order to be connected to the vine and produce, or not produce, excuse me, forgive me again, to bear the fruit that he inquires you to obey, to bear, want you to bear, then you need to be connected to the vine. And the branch. And this is part of being part of the branch right here. It's an integral part of it. You can't eliminate it. I'll show you in a minute why. You can't say, yes, I'm a branch and I'm connected to the vine who's Jesus Christ. And yes, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Listen, I'm going to clarify something I said last week too. I think it was last week or the week before in a second here. And then say, well, I don't need the people here, the other branches. I produce enough fruit for the whole kingdom of God myself. No, you don't. You don't. You're only one branch producing that has the fruit that God has, you know, put into your life. Now, you can produce more fruit than others. I'm going to show you that in a second. Very important. And everybody is an individual. Do you know I can love my wife as much as I want to? Yep. No, you got to understand. It's my choice how much I love her.
That's right.
But there's fruit that comes from loving her more than less. There's a peace in my house because I choose to love her with all that I am.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
There was a time when in our lives that we weren't saved. We'd get in an argument last for 3 weeks. I mean, we wouldn't talk to each other for 3 weeks. That's tough when you're living in a trailer that's 8 foot wide and 24 foot long. You had no place to go hide. You didn't have extra rooms to go run into. We get now, I'm serious, man, we were tough. But we got now to a place where we make each other laugh if we get in an argument.
Amen.
And it's more of a joke than it is of a serious why. Something happened. Lust turned into love. When I first met my wife, she lusted after me. I had a lot more stuff to lust after then than I do now. Well, I got more now than I did then, but... She used to say I had a six-pack. Now I got a barrel, so I don't know. But that's all right. But you understand, I lusted after her. I really did. That was all, even after we were married, it was all about that. It took a lot. Yeah, but see, you need to distinguish the difference between love and lust. A lot of us lust after God, but don't really care about and love him. We want what he's got, but we don't want to get close enough to him to know who he truly is. And we got to get to a place where this whole thing is really all about love. Whether he does it or doesn't do it, whatever we ask, if he says nothing, we still have to love him. If something that we were hoping to get doesn't come to pass in our lives, we still have to love him. Because it's not about what he will give to me. And that's what happens in marriages. Listen to me, married people. If you're having problems in your marriage, it's because you have your problem with lust. You got me? I'm going to show you, love is so much different than lust. Lust is mean I want it my way. Love is means I sacrifice and give to that.
Amen.
If you can't love your spouse, you cannot love God. You understand that? Don't tell me you love God and hate your brother or sister in Christ. It's impossible. You are so important to my life. Everyone that God had put into that vine and had been saved and got born again and come out of that vine. Every one of you have importance in my life. Even the ones I don't know. Even the ones that are getting their head chopped off over there in the Middle East because of their commitment to Christ. Even the ones whose families are being destroyed because of their commitment to Christ. Every one of them has significance to my life. It affects me in a multitude of ways. If you're not affected when your brother and sister is suffering, you're not connected to the degree you should be to Christ. He said, when your brother cries, you cry with him. When your brother laughs, you rejoice with him. It is that closeness. That's what's so important about it. Praise God. Now, let me clarify something. And I got on a rant there for a moment, so I like to get my rants over easy, quickly, in front, and then you forget about them afterwards, hopefully not. But last week we were talking somewhat about the remember he said, branches are removed. Remember that? Well, go in John 15 real quick. He said this. I am the first one. I am the true vine. And my father is the vine dresser. In other words, he's the one who takes care of the vineyard. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. I'm going to go down here. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. All right. I said, and I stand by it, that many who come into the kingdom, into the church, and they look like they're part of a branch, doesn't necessarily mean they are. And we looked in Matthew 7, we saw where he said, Lord, Lord, and we saw that there's tares and wheat that are growing together in these days. And God says they won't be separated until the harvest comes. Hear me. The harvest is coming very, very quickly. If you're left behind when he calls, get right with God. If that doesn't concern you, go into Luke 21. He said, where you watch and pray that you might be found worthy. Our worthiness is not by our works. It's through faith and our connection to the divine. Amen? So it's not by our works. All right, that was just a sidebar. In 1 Corinthians 3:15, go there. with me real quick. What did I tell you? 1 Corinthians 3. If anyone, let me back up from there. Now, if someone builds on this foundation with gold and silver, I'm starting in verse 12, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's works will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. So we can have branches that are connected that aren't producing fruit that can still be saved and go to heaven. Amen? Now, in that, they will go through a whole heck of a lot of junk down here. They don't have to. God uses fire, and sometimes fire means that he turns up the heat in people's lives to cause them to turn back to him. I got testimonies here to that fact. I point to only one. At the moment, I could point to a lot more. But there's things in our lives, and understand this. Your whole purpose in life, people say that, I don't know what my purpose is. I'm giving you your purpose now, because this is equal for everybody. Your whole purpose in life is to produce fruit that glorifies your Heavenly Father. That's it. That's your purpose. Out of that fruit, which is means the fruit is your life. The fruit is your life. Out of that fruit will come the glory that praises him. Come on. It will praise him. Because people will say, I don't understand you. Look what you're going. You just lost your job, but you're still praising and worshiping a God. If he was your God, why would he allow that to happen in your life? Because you don't know. God's got something better for me. Amen. God's always got something better for me. What the world takes from me, God gives to me.
Amen.
Better than what the world can do. The world gives me sickness, he gives me health. The world gives me chaos, he gives me peace. The world gives me hatred and all the garbage that goes with it. And he gives me joy and peace. Oh man, come on now. Amen. Living in the kingdom is great. Now, I admit to you, as I have many times, I get messed up because I get into the flesh. Amen. I got into the flesh. I got into it again yesterday. Somebody pulled out right in front of me again. I swear, they come right out in front. I couldn't have been 5 feet from me. Pulled right out, and I'm doing 35 miles an hour. I went, you, Lord bless them. And I followed them for about a mile, and I kept saying, Lord bless them, Lord bless them, Lord bless them. Why? Because I was trying to override the flesh. My flesh wanted to say, give me a gun. I want to shoot out the tires. I'm serious. Do you think I'm kidding? This is me. That's who I am. But that's not who he is in me. And my whole goal is to allow him to show himself through me. Notice, it's him doing it. Because the fruit comes through him, by him, and in him. Not in me. You know how much pressure that takes off me? I don't have to force myself to live a certain way. I live that way because I abide in the vine, and the vine directs the way my branch goes. Every once in a while, the branch wants to go its own way. So it starts turning this way and starts turning that way. And what happens? The Father comes along and puts a roadblock up. Removes that desire from me. Now it doesn't. Look, I'll be going through this process until the day I go home to be with the Lord. Whenever, through the rapture or through the grave, however way it goes. So don't think that, oh, you're going to come to a place where you all of a sudden you can say, it's done, it's finished. Paul, when he was writing in Acts, was saying he was on his way to, he knew what was going to happen to him. He was going to be arrested. He was going to be put in prison. He probably going to lose his life. Jesus, before he started, Paul started walking, he said, I'm going to show him everything he's going to suffer for my name's sake. Imagine that. If God said to us, I want you to follow me, but I'm going to show you everything you're going to suffer following me. How many of us would continue to follow him? But God did something for Paul. God showed Paul what heaven was really like. And he saw things up there that he said, I can't even tell you all the things I saw up there. But it was enough to make him make a decision, a choice, to follow Christ no matter the cost. Let me ask you. Well, God hasn't shown me. Did you ask him? Ask and you shall receive. Amen. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. God has no problem with revealing things. So it's not, he may not show us everything. But there's not one person in here God won't open up that window of heaven and pour out. Listen, the greatest blessing you can have is presence. When we walk in the kingdom of God, this worldly system and everything around us, which brings me to the message. Hallelujah. What is it, the fruit that he's talking about in our lives? And how does that affect us? You ready? Let's go in back into John 15. Let's read through that again. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. I can't express the importance of the word of God in your life. The word of God is what the Holy Spirit works with to bring the transformation for your life. So if we don't apply, if we don't put this in here, and we talk about applying, again, I'll stand by this. I believe it's the Holy Spirit who causes us to want to apply that to our lives. In other words, he does it this way. David, stop cursing that person in front of you. You don't know where they're going. You don't know what their life is like. You don't know what's going on. They might have just come away from an argument. They may be on their way to a hospital. You don't know what's going on in that car's life. So don't curse them with your mouth. Now, who's telling me that? Me? No, it's the Holy Spirit in me. You know how many years this has taken to get just to this point? I'm serious. This is not... If you want to... Listen... Christianity is not for cowards. It is probably the most bravest thing you can do is stand up and confess Jesus Christ in the midst of all that junk going on out there. I'm telling you, that world, it's an antichrist spirit that's dominating here in America today. At least, let me say, at least in the ruling hierarchy of the people. Antichrist spirit. There's a few Christians here and there, but they're so drowned out by the voice of darkness that their light is so dim up in that. Oh, is this the end? No, I don't know. I mean, listen to all the stuff going on, but I'm going to get off into another subject altogether here. Let's back up. Let's go back to where we are here. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So, no fruit. Now, I want to tell you something. There's going to be some people who will bear 100%, some 60, and some 30. You can be connected to the vine, and some will produce in their life only 30% of what God intended for them to bear fruit. How do I know? Mark 13, go there. And in that, well, not Mark 13, it's Matthew 13, I apologize. In there you're going to find the sower the seed. And you're going to find somewhere people have the cares of this world choke out the word of God. In other words, there's more to this world that they enjoy than they do the kingdom of God. I don't know. And again, understand this. You have to examine yourself. Amen? I'm going to get way off if I don't keep back to where I want to go. Let's go back here. He said, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into a fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, listen to this, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. As long as it's according to God's will, as you abide in him. So some people will get 30% of their prayers answered, some 60 and some 100. Right? If it determined how much we abide. So we have the ability to choose how much our prayers are answered. Now remember, prayers have to be according to the will of God. Amen? According to the will of God. So we find the will of God. Is it God's will that your loved one be saved? Yes, so I can ask him why. Because I'm abiding in him and his word is abiding in me. That just means it's alive in me. And when I start cursing that driver, blessings come out. Do you remember? This is a cool thing. Well, you don't have to worry about other people, what they say about you. Do you remember the prophet, when they went to the prophet and they said to him, come on out, I want you to curse Israel. Amen. Remember what he said? I can't curse that which God has blessed. If you're connected to the vine, you're blessed. Now, if that blessing is operating in your life, it's your choice. But you are blessed. Let me tell you this. You are blessed. And if you're blessed by God, you're so much better off than being blessed by the world. The world is temporary. Your joy is so much greater in the kingdom of God than your happiness in the world. Amen? People who love skiing hate it when spring comes. Because their joy left. For the kingdom dweller who abides in Christ, every day is a blessed day. Every day is a great day. We rejoice in every day, whether it's spring, summer, fall. Do we like one better than the other? Possibly, yes, for our physical comfort, but it doesn't change because we operate out of the kingdom. Amen. I love it. All right. Look what he said. By this my Father is glorified. You bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Go up here to verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Now know this. When he wrote this, when this was written, it wasn't written broken down into chapters, and it wasn't broken down with love and joy perfecting all that stuff. It was continuous. So he's continuing his thought here. All right? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So if you're connected to the vine and you abide in Christ, then you will abide in his love. This isn't something that I choose to do or not to do. Because he said when you were born again, he took out your heart of stone and poured in his love into your heart and gave you a heart of flesh. So we love not with our physical. When I talked before, the difference between love and lust. Love is God's way. Lust is man's way. Love comes through the knowledge that you gain from a relationship with him. He'll love you, but can you say, I love him? Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do all I command. Remember what he said, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Make sure that you're in the faith. In the faith means that you're connected to the vine. If you're in the vine, can you say, don't say that you love me and not love one another. That's not happening. Can't happen. Won't happen. See, this goes deep into the heart. Amen. This goes deep into the heart. This goes deep. This is not a peripheral. This is really looking deep within the heart. And even though that person may say something that aggravates the heck out of me, because I know that they're connected to the vine, I'm going to love them. Well, that doesn't mean I have to be around them. Maybe it does. Sometimes God will allow people who aggravate us to deal with issues in our life that we need to deal with. He'll stir that up. Iron sharpens iron. It'll stir that up inside of you and say, yes. I got to get away from this. I got to get away. No, what you're saying, you got to get away from God. Because mm-hmm. He's the one convicting you. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You wrestle against principality, rules of darkness, world, evil, wicked spirit. So your problem isn't them. Your problem's within self. Because when you leave that relationship, you'll always connect with someone else, and you'll be the problem in that one. Amen? So once we understand, okay, Lord, I'm connected to the vine, so everything that you love, I love. Everything you hate, I hate. Everything you do, I will do. Everything you are, I will become. And it's a work of God. It's a work of the Spirit. That's the good news. It's the work of the Spirit. Remember, I told you, go into Matthew 13. If you go there, and I wrote it down here someplace. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Here's the things that will stop this from operating in your life. Number one, not understanding the Word of God. You don't understand it because you don't pray and meditate on the Word and study the Word as God instructs us to do. So the Word is spoken. You walk out of here, nothing's changed. The only thing you say is, boy, he took a long time today. Amen? But the Word of God is the medicine you need for a sick body. The Word of God is the medicine you need for a mind that's out of confused and all there. The Word of God is the thing you need to provide for you where you have a need in your life, whatever that need is. And if we ignore the Word of God, just let it pass us by, we are bound to live by our own thoughts and our own feelings. He said this in Proverbs 3. He said, lean not unto your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in every way acknowledge Him. Amen? And then you're going to see the difference in your life. What's that mean to acknowledge? That just means, okay, Lord, I'm about to go about my day today. I'm going to work. I got things I got to get done. Now, I just need your wisdom to help me in all of what I'm doing today. I acknowledge, Lord God. Look, if you can do it, you don't need Him. And you don't spend time with Him. But God wants to increase the fruit of your life in the area where you're at right at this moment, so that He would be glorified and others would be blessed. So you can have a job that you can do, and you get the wisdom of God, and He'll give you instructions on how to do it better, cheaper, quicker, easier. And all of a sudden people start going, "What? Where'd you get that idea from? We've been doing this for 30 years. We still don't get it." Because God knows more than you do on what you're doing. He can instruct you to do it easier, quicker, better, cheaper. That means the fruit of that that's in your life starts blessing the company that you're in. Then the company sees the worth, not of you, but of the fruit in your life. And because of the fruit in your life, they start raising you up. All right, first, no understanding. Second, no root in himself. And when tribulation and persecution come, bam, they run. In other words, you start following God, all your friends back here who aren't saved start jumping on you and calling you all kinds of names, laughing at you. And so what do? You back off. You go back to them because you can't handle the pressure that's coming out of there. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word. In other words, the cares of this world, I got more to do out there. And God, trust me, the devil will always give you more to do. He wants to keep you busy. He wants to keep you so involved in the things of this world, you don't have time for Him and His Word. Amen? And so then the third one is the good ground. And when you're good ground, that means you just acknowledge Him in all your ways. And you say, okay, Lord, do your work. Here I am. I need you today. doesn't take 24 hours a day. That's why that 1 hour prayer that we're doing is so wonderful. It is so wonderful. Why? Because it keeps the freshness of the word and the connection real fresh to Jesus. Because when you're praying, you're talking to him. You know, you can have a bunch of knowledge and still not know him. You can have a bunch of knowledge of knowing about him, and you know, okay, he's God, he's Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I know all that stuff, and still not have any power, any power whatsoever in your life. Because trust me when I tell you this, when you're walking in this, the fruit that God intends you to walk in, you're going to have power. You're going to have power. The greatest struggle you're going to have in the end, when you start getting and walking in this, the greatest struggle you're going to have is power over the flesh. That's the hardest thing for us to learn. That's the hardest thing. That the devil, he's easy. He's defeated already anyway. The world, yeah, there's some things in the world I'll take and some I don't want to take. And I don't need the world that much. But boy, when it comes to me, hallelujah. Okay, I wrote down here what it is. Oh, did I finish up here? Let me see if I finished reading. I started in 9. As Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in me. If you abide in me, you abide in my love. Listen to this. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Hallelujah. So he's instructing us how to do this. So the fruit of your life is love. Above all things, love. Out of love comes everything. When you love, even fear can't stay around you. That's power. Because this whole world out here is governed by fear. Oh, somebody who's got a convertible wants to go out in their convertible. I don't mean... you're not here. I want to go out in a convertible, but it's going to rain. And so their fear is it might rain while we're out there. So they adjust their life for that fear. There are so many things in the world that we're controlled by fear and not true love. Perfect love casts out all fear. So if you're abiding in Christ and his word's abiding in you, you say, Father, today I just want to go out and enjoy your scenery. I want to see the beautiful leaves. I want to put the top down and just go through it and just be a wonderful day. And I want to thank you, Father. You keep the rain away from me. Wherever I'm at, it won't rain. I thank you for that. You can do that. Well, what if it rains? Who said it's going to rain? Your doubt, non-belief said it rains. Your faith says it won't. But remember, love doesn't work, or faith doesn't work without love. All right? You can't have faith and not love. With love, faith has to operate. The Bible says faith worketh by love. So what's the most important fruit in your life? Love. Now we know that if we go back into Galatians 5:22 and you read through there, you're going to find the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, patience, goodness, self-control. But I want you to see something. The first one they talk about is love. Everything else comes out of there. Kindness, gentleness, all comes out of love. You understand that? It's not the work of the person. So you don't walk around saying, I got to love that person because God said I got to love that person. No. It's the Spirit of God and the flow of life coming out of you automatically looks on that person. And you weep when they're hurting. And you rejoice when they're having joy. And all that, you know, old ugly flesh that wants what they're getting. You said, no. Lord, bless them even more. Bless them even more. I get people all the time come through the church and they leave. And some of them leave with good and some leave with bad. But I always, when they come to my mind, I bless them. Say, Father, bless them. Increase your blessing. Open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on them. They'll not be able to contain. I refuse to allow myself to get in what the devil wants me to get into: anger, frustration, discouragement, depression. That's not who I am. I know who I am. And I, listen to me, like fear, I know those things coming at me. I know them. I know them. Jesus said he could look into the heart of people and he could see what they were thinking, even though they were saying and doing other things. God, in the Spirit of God, look, I said this before, I do not believe that God is going to look into your heart and tell me what's in your heart. The only thing I can see is the fruit. Your life. I see your life, and I see how well you're connected. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. If I don't see love, then maybe love isn't there. And if love isn't there, are you connected? If you are connected, how connected are you? Because if you're not in love with God and with the brethren, I know what God says. So I took love and I said, okay, because I could go and I was going to go through it in Galatians 5, and then I was looking around and I said, okay. Then I started praying about it. I said, okay, Lord, tell me. Show me what love is. Here's what God gave me, okay? And there's so much more to love than I'm bringing you. There's so much more that I can't even... First is obedience. Love will bring obedience. Notice I didn't say you have to obey to show your love. That doesn't work that way. Love produces in us a willing heart to obey God. Amen. So obedience is the first thing you can look at and say, okay, am I truly in love with God as I should be? The second thing, I got scriptures for these. I'm not going to, well, look in Matthew 22, 36, 40 through 40 if you want to look at it. But I don't want to take all these. I want to get through here. All right, obedience. And you can look them up in the scriptures and find all these things. The second thing is, and this again is not in a special order or anything like that. It's just what it is. Sacrifice. If you truly have the love of God in you, you become a living sacrifice for God. And I will say, for the brethren. Your will becomes His will. You'll put God first, your family, natural and spiritual, second, and you last. That's sacrifice. There's no greater love than one who laid down his life for someone else. Amen? Here's the next one. This one you'll love. Submission. Do you know that you can be obedient without submitting? How can that be? Someone would say. If nobody else, I will. You can do what God tells you to do without having Him and submitting to Him as your Lord and Savior. In other words, I can say to you, I believe God, part of God's financial plan in the kingdom is tithes and offerings. I believe that to be true. And so you look at me and you say, okay, well, I'm going to give my tithes and offerings. Why? Because I said so? Or are you submitting to God's will? Remember this. He said this. He said, for husbands and wives, listen to this. Wives, in Ephesians 5, wives, submit to your husbands. Men, love your wives. So love and submission go together. Right? You can't have one without the other. If you have a wife who will submit to the husband, but the husband doesn't love the wife, you got a lousy marriage. If you got a husband who loves the wife, but she won't submit to him, you got a lousy marriage. But God put them together. And if there's a problem in your marriage, it's usually because somebody won't submit and the other one isn't expressing love. And so one says to the other, listen, you're not submitting to me, so I'm not going to show you my love. Which destroys and does exactly what the devil wants. Do you understand that? The devil wants to break it up. There's no, listen to me, there's no greater testimony for the Church of Jesus Christ to the world that God isn't real by the divorce rate in the church. The greatest testimony to the world of a one true God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, dying on that cross, sacrificing himself for us, is divorce out in the church for the world to look at. Because he said, the way they know us is by the love we have for one another. They'll only know him through our love for each other, whether it be of our marriages or whether it be of our relationships in here. That's why marriage is something you don't enter into lightly. You sit and count the cost before you enter in. The cost is that you can't have your own way the rest of your life. If you want to keep your own way, don't get married. If you get married, honor God by doing what he told you to do. Okay. And get a rant on that one again. All right, the next thing. Compassion. Being connected to the divine will bring compassion. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. He talks about the need. If you see your brother in need, and you have the wherewithal to meet that need. Amen? Now hear me. And I'm going to say this to you. We have to distinguish between family and people. Because even the demons and even the unsaved will take care of their family. So we taking care of our family does not give an indication that we have love of God flowing in our lives and out of us. It just means we're like everybody else who takes care of their family. So what's it mean? It means this, and this is what's critical. If you're not connected to the vine, because the vine will bring the needs of the other part of the vine to you to help him. He does that. That's the work of the Spirit. So there's things in people's lives that God wants you, and you're unique at this part. Nobody else in this congregation can do what you can do for whoever needs that need. Only you can. And as you pray for one another, God starts revealing, this is what that brother needs. This is what that sister needs. Meet their need. Why? Because God's got something more for you. I believe with all my heart, the more you give, the more you get. Because God sees the faithfulness of his children, and he sees that they are willing to supply the needs of others, and that's what he's going to do, is make sure you got more than enough to supply needs. And remember, again, we've talked about it before, the farmer always be able to partake of that same harvest that comes in. So you're blessed with it, okay? Let me go back here. Obedience, sacrifice, submission, compassion. 1 John 3:17 under compassion again. All right. The next one, grace. Love will produce a grace in you. In other words, people don't have to do something to earn your love. It's freely given. God's grace is sufficient. And the grace of God is God's love manifested in a believer's life. And that's, and everybody in the whole world has the ability to have that grace in their life. Everybody. And so when that love flows through us and God has given us grace, we freely give grace to others. We share with them the love. The next thing is mercy. That love flowing to you will bring mercy. Mercy is just God's forgiveness. If you forgive others, God will forgive you. It's a natural thing. Forgiveness is more than just saying forgiveness. Forgiveness is saying you've never done it. So I can treat you as if you've never been miserable to me. I can treat you even though you've tore down my family and said things about me and done things. I can treat you just as if you've never done that. That's forgiveness. Praise God. When God forgives us, He doesn't say, yeah, but I don't want anything to do with you now because, you know, look what you did, look what you said, look at this. Praise God. Forgiveness means redemption. It means it brought back into the relationship. That's only by love. It's not going to happen any other way. It ain't going to happen by the flesh. It ain't going to happen. I can say I forgive you and not want anything to do with you. That's the easy way for the flesh. But I'm not of the flesh. That's who I was. That's not who I am. That's not who Christ is. And I want that operating in my life. And I want him operating in your life. I want you, every one of you, know what it's like to be totally free. Totally free from any mess out there. Anybody got anything, you're not going to be caught up in it. You're not going to be caught up in the web of deceit and anger and frustration, all the junk that's going on. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free to love. That's the greatest freedom the world will ever give or ever have. Excuse me. Not give. They can't give that. Only God can give that. To be free to love. What an awesome thing. Amen. Mercy. What's the last thing I wrote down here? I think it's the last thing. Yes. Okay. Some scriptures for that. Mark 11:25 and Luke 6:37. Now, let me give you the last one real quick. The last one is power. There's power in love. There's power in love. You defeat the enemy with love. Amen. When you're loving and that flow of love is flowing through you, he has no power over you. He can't cause you to do anything against the will of your heavenly Father. And you have to know these people, all of them, love God. Not everybody's in the same place. Not everybody is as mature as the next one. Not everybody is more connected or, you know, more hungry or thirsty or after God. And they're not chasing him the same way. They're not. But God loves them all equally. God loves them all equally. God loves them. And God wants you to know you're to love them all equally. If that one over there is exhibiting more of the Spirit of God and operating in the Spirit of God, and this one over here isn't, you love them equally. There's power there. The devil can't bring division. Where there's division, there's chaos. And every evil thing. That's why God says, I hate division. Let me read some of this to you. 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. The fruit is love, and he who abides in love abides in God. Can't get any clearer than that. 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. The fruit of this, of what he's talking about in John 15, I truly believe is love. And out of that love comes all the answers to life. You live in a whole different atmosphere. You live in a whole different world when you're living in love. And people, that's why people hate Christians who are truly walking, connected to the divine, because they can't stand love. Out there, there's nothing but hate. Read the newspapers, listen to the news. Hatred. Hatred for the police. Hatred for others of different color. Hatred for those who are different as far as their sexual orientation. There's hatred all over the place. And they're trying to say that's the church. That's what Christians are like. They hate everybody. Not true. We love everybody. We hate sin. Because sin destroys. And so you're going to be up against it out there. You're going to be up against a big deal. Trust me. But fear not. What has overcome the world? Even our faith. Faith in what? Faith in divine. Able to keep the branch until the day. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise and glory. We give you thanks in all things and in all the ways. We praise you and give you glory. Father, we acknowledge our weaknesses. We acknowledge, Lord God, that the Lord, we just want the fruit developed in us. Let the fruit grow and grow and grow so that in the end of all things, we glorify you. Not just in word, but in deed. We thank you today, Lord. We give you praise. And we declare that we abide in Christ. And Christ abides in us. And the word of God is alive in us and remains. So help us, Lord, to walk in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.